I've really been looking forward as well to this day when Micah and Madeline can share with us. I echo a lot of the words that Dave shared with us in the beginning here. And that song, God of the Bible, reflects this people called to be a light, and that this is how God's kingdom will come. And Micah and Madeline, your cross-cultural experience and your sharing today is a part of that. And we want to name that. This is a part of what God is doing. And we're going to celebrate that as your congregation. I also want to say, too, Mia Swartley had a cross-cultural about a year ago. And she's going to be sharing a little bit about her experience in about a month as well. So we want to hear about her experience as well in the future. The text this morning that they have chosen comes from the book of Mark. And so I will be reading that, and then Micah and Madeline will be coming up and sharing with us. Mark chapter 10, 17 to 31. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good but God alone. You know the commandments. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. You shall not defraud. Honor your father and mother." He said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these since my youth." Jesus, looking at him, loved him and said, "You lack one thing. Go, sell what you own, and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he was shocked and went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, "How hard it will be for those who have wealth to enter the kingdom of God." And the disciples were perplexed at these words. But Jesus said to them again, "Children, how hard is it to enter the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." They were greatly astounded and said to one another, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals it is impossible, but not for God. For God, all things are possible." Peter began to say to him, "Look, we have left everything and followed you." And Jesus said, "Truly I tell you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or fields for my sake and for the sake of the good news, who will not receive 100-fold now in this age. Houses, brothers and sisters, mothers and children, and fields with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." God, we thank you for this scripture. We thank you for Micah and Madeline. We just pray that you would be with them as they share with us, and that, Lord, you would speak through them this morning as we follow you. In Jesus' name.
So, yes, Micah and I were both gone on a semester-long cross-cultural with our school, Eastern Mennonite University. So it was a focus on learning. We were in Guatemala. I don't know if we said that at all. Guatemala and Mexico and Cuba. But for the most part, we were focusing on learning Spanish and just about the culture and history of these countries. So first was a week spent at the U.S.-Mexico border. So we spent that week crossing back and forth between Agua Prieta, Mexico, and Douglas, Arizona, with a ministry called Frontera de Cristo. And then while we were crossing back and forth, we were learning about border issues. We touched the wall. We learned about the organizations that are helping there. And I think that this week was definitely a lot more impactful than a lot of us were expecting. And so then from there, we went on to Guatemala City And we were there, right in the city at a place called Samia, which, Willie preached, like a month ago here, and he was associated with this place as well. And so while we were there, we, were living with host families. We each had, an individual, we were individually with the host family. So I had a mother and, two older brothers and an older sister and four cats. So that was really fun. And I learned a lot of Spanish from them and Micah's family.
I stayed with, Matas, and, I had a host brother and, some older parents that had a lot of grandkids. So they came over a lot and we'd play and watch, soccer a lot. So it's a good time.
Yeah, so it was 8 weeks with those families, and while we were living with them, we were taking Spanish. So we had Spanish classes for, like, 3 hours every morning, and it was classes of about... Michael was in a class all by himself, and I was with two other students. So they were really small class sizes, so we were learning a lot, because everyone was just at different levels, so we were placed in whatever Spanish level we needed. And then in the afternoons, we would hear from different speakers about different issues. Each week had a different theme, sort of, and focused on a different topic, whether it was Mayan culture or the history or, yeah. And, yeah.
Okay, so... During these 8 weeks, we also visited a lot of cool places, physical places. Lake Atitlan was one of the top places that we went to. The cloud forest in Coban we also went to. That's different than a rainforest, but there's a lot of really neat animals and different things we saw there. We hiked Volcan Pacaya, which is still an active volcano. As you probably heard in the news, about the eruption in Guatemala, there's still a lot of active volcanoes currently in Guatemala. After Guatemala City, we had free travel. So Madeline and I both, chose to go to Belize, with a different groups. You could choose to go wherever you wanted for basically 8 days. So you could stay in Guatemala, you could go to a surrounding country. Yeah, and we chose to go to Belize, which is not too far away at all. We had kind of an interesting time getting across the ocean from Guatemala to Belize. The morning that we decided to leave, there was actually a really big thunderstorm out in the water. So there was probably 10 to 12 foot waves that we were going through in a little small boat with no life jackets. So that was a interesting time. Yeah.
Serious moment of my life.
Yeah, but that was great. We were in Plasencia, Belize, just hanging out on the beach, taking a little break from Spanish school. So good time. After that, we went to Antigua, Guatemala for Semana Santa, which is Easter. We saw the processions in the street. It's a very emotional and different type of celebration than we have here. We saw, yeah, Catholic processions, alfombras, which are the designs in the street, etc. It's a very old European-type city. Then we went to the Mayan ruins in northern Guatemala in Tikal, and we explored there for about 3 to 4 days, walked around and hiked a lot, learned about different cultural landmarks. After that, we went to Cuba for 10 days to learn about the differences in the culture, economy, healthcare, history, and relations with the U.S., so that was a very interesting experience and that not many of us expected to go on. Yeah, it felt like being in a different time period. There was a lot of old cars, rundown buildings, not really any advertisements or consumerism. So it was a very different place to be than in the United States. Lastly, we went to Xela, Guatemala, or Quetzaltenango in the native language. We had final presentations there and reflections as a group, basically just sharing how we grew, anything we learned, or what we wanted to talk about as our final presentation. So that was a good time as well. It was in the mountainous region, so very high altitude, and Got some Guatemalan coffee for the last time.
When Randy asked us to share, he suggested some things to talk about. So we're going to sort of go through those and highlight some things that really ways that we grew and things we're still wrestling with and things like that. So, Micah, why did you first choose to go on this cross-cultural?
I chose to go on the cross-cultural to Guatemala, Cuba, and Mexico, mainly because it challenged me to face issues that were going on currently in the world. It wasn't a lavish trip to Europe or a cruise in Asia somewhere, but I was going somewhere to face issues head-on, such as immigration, socialism, gang violence in Central America. And this gave me an ability to have an open mind and appreciate the things that I have in a new way and see it firsthand.
And I chose this cross-cultural because the Spanish, for one thing, really appealed to me. Thought that seemed very relevant. And I had a lot of upperclassmen friends who had also gone on this cross-cultural. And then I also, I think we were asked this question somewhere like in the middle of our trip by our leader, Byron Peachy. And so I had written a journal entry about that. So I'm just going to read it because it just sums up why I chose this. So why am I here? Honestly, sometimes I can't even believe that I'm on a semester-long cross-cultural. I just sort of signed up for cross-cultural because I knew it was maybe a possibility, and then nothing better came up, and I was signed up, and it felt like it just kind of happened. Going on a semester-long cross-cultural felt like such a grown-up thing to do. Like, it's hard to believe that I was even old enough and capable enough. And also, for once, it was something that neither of my sisters had done, so it felt very independent. And even though it feels like I just kind of ended up on this trip, I believe God definitely had a plan for me to come, because otherwise something else would have come up.
All right. So, Madeline, what are some things that you really grew in, or something that you hadn't thought about before that is important to you now?
So thinking about this question, four things really stuck out to me. I think when people have been asking me this question since I'm back, I answer it like these types of questions in a different way every time, because there are just so many things that I, can think about. And yeah. So the four things that really I think I want to highlight are that first, I definitely grew in my, critical thinking, which seems kind of dumb, but like when I was faced with new topics and things that I hadn't really heard about before, it really forced me to think for myself. And this was really big for me and definitely a way that I grew. And then secondly, my eyes were definitely opened that being back in the U.S. even now for 2 months, I still am viewing things very differently. I just and looking at things more critically. I've become much more aware of my privilege and wealth. Just everything in the United States seems really nice, even down to just public restrooms being guaranteed to have toilet paper. I'm very privileged to live in the U.S., to be a college student, to not have to worry about where my next meal is coming from, to not have to sit in 2 hours of traffic every morning. They're just a lot of people in the world that do not live like I do, and so that was something that I am still wrestling with, but something that became very clear to me. And thirdly, generosity is something that I learned a lot about from a lot of different situations. One specific story, it's really simple, but I was with my host brother in the car driving and sitting in traffic in the city driving to school. And there was a woman begging on the side of the street for money, and which was really typical to see. And my brother didn't have a job at the time, but he still reached in his wallet and handed out some quetzales out the window to her. And I looked at him and was like, oh, wow, that was really nice. He's like, and he looked at me really seriously and was like, yeah, I have more opportunities than she ever will. And so he was just very generous. Even though he wasn't making money, he still found it in himself to give. So, and also just the hospitality that we saw from a lot of people throughout the trip, I feel like I learned a lot about generosity. And then lastly, I learned that a lot of issues that seem like they're black and white really aren't. That humanizing people is really important, and being able to see people as people on both sides of issues can really go a long way, especially before like trying to jump to conclusions or judging people, but trying to humanize people. And I hope that's something that will stick with me. What about you, Mike? What are some ways that you really grew? Things you didn't think about before that are now maybe important to you? Where were your eyes opened?
I think I grew in being more understanding of people and becoming less judgmental, quick to come to a conclusion. Most things I realized are a lot more complicated than they seem, looking in from the outside. One exercise that really stood out to me in Guatemala that we did was we went to the Basurero, which is the dump, and we saw people working there, picking up trash, getting about 15 quetzales a day, which is about $2. And then we went the next day to a mall called Kaila, which is an upper-class European Spanish-style mall. And they gave us the same amount of quetzales that they earn in one day, 15 quetzales, and they said, go and see what you can buy with that. The only thing we could find for that amount was probably a cookie or maybe an ice cream cone if you're lucky. So I'd say it was pretty eye-opening just to see the general contrast of wealth, not only the overall differences from the U.S. It's Guatemala is basically an ultra consumeristic environment. So if we didn't have a lot of different regulations in the U.S., that's kind of what it would be. So I just thought about that a lot. And I'd like to become a little bit more involved in political things. That's what I realized when I was there. I usually like to just stay in the middle and not offend anyone on either side. So I think that I should learn more about that and become more involved.
And if there is one thing that the congregation should know about that you became aware of, what would it be?
One thing that I became aware of now that I've been in Vietnam and Cuba, I'd say I've become much more aware of the overall United States involvement in other countries in previous years. In general, it opened my eyes to a new perspective, which questioned certain reasons for certain strategies and past foreign policies. One significant thing that I thought about as I was writing this, is we went to a museum in Cuba, which was pretty interesting, I would say. They had archives basically on every supposed terrorist attack, American to Cuban. And it was just a completely different thing that you'd ever hear, like, in the media in the United States. So I think it was interesting to get a new perspective on where I'm from and nationalism in general.
And so for me, one thing that I became aware of that I would like to share with all of you that can maybe make a difference for you, it seems really simple, but when we were in Mexico, someone had said, and it actually came up a lot, that immigrants don't want to come to the U.S. And that just like hit me in a really new way. I don't know if it was because I was in that context or if it was just something that I hadn't heard before. But the fact that, and then it was like, well, of course not. Like, they want to stay in their, with their family at their home where they're comfortable, where there's everybody speaking their language. I think it's really easy for us to just assume that since we like living in the United States that, oh, everyone is wanting to come to the United States. But I found this, it just hit me in a really new way. And so maybe that is something new to all of you. Regardless of political views, I think knowing this can help you be compassionate and more understanding of people's motives. And yeah. And lastly, what is a scripture text if any, or how did you grow spiritually? What questions are you still wrestling with?
Well, I'll let you explain the text a bit on the PowerPoint slide, but I would say spiritually I definitely grew in becoming closer with God and just learning how to pray more in certain situations where I'm really stressed out or just need something extra to help me out with basically with the situation I'm in. I would say in the past I haven't been too connected spiritually as much, so that was something I definitely grew in more.
So the scripture that we had read, I had chosen that. It was scripture that we had looked closely at when we were in Mexico. And it felt like that sort of theme of that verse sort of kept coming up because we were always faced with being the wealthy Americans and what do we do with that wealth and stuff. So this theme sort of stuck with me through the semester, sort of how do I use my resources and the privilege that I have been given? They kept telling us over and over, like, you're not a bad person for living in the U.S. You're not bad for being wealthy, but it's just, what are you doing with that? That is something that I'm definitely still wrestling with. But I think it goes back to the generosity and compassion that I learned about also throughout the semester. And then I also felt that verse connected with the experiences that we had when we lived in poverty, sort of with a family in Coban and in Lake Atitlan, and were able to see poverty firsthand. And it really struck me that those people can be just as happy or happier than me with a lot less than I have. And so what do we do with all of our possessions? And I think God taught me again that possessions just can get in the way of seeing Christ, and they can just really distract us from our relationship with God. And if I'm comfortable in how I'm living and when all my basic needs are met, it's just really easy to feel like I have everything under control and then I don't really have to rely on God. So that was something that I felt like I learned. And then also just, I felt like from visiting different Mennonite churches, I had more of an appreciation for my Mennonite background, which was exciting to me. I learned the importance of the community aspect of church in a new way, which I liked. And then again, I learned that God's kingdom is just so huge, which was really cool. And then, lastly, are there any questions or anything that you're still wrestling with? I would say that just sort of how I'm still wrestling with what do I do with all the experiences that I had with everything that I learned? Where does it fit into my life here in the U.S.? How am I living as a generous person and not living for myself and not letting my possessions get in the way of my relationship with God? So anything else you wanted to add?
I don't know, for a question I'm still wrestling with, I would basically just say, I'd like to think of something I could do in my home community or the area that I live that could impact the people in Central America, and it's hard to grasp something, at this micro level that could help an issue so large, in that macro environment. So that's something we talked about a lot. But I'm definitely still wrestling with that. And lastly, to follow up, we have a small PowerPoint slide that we're going to show a few pictures of the different places that we went. So hope you enjoy it.
And I would also just add thank you for your prayers as we were traveling for a whole semester. Thank you. That means a lot to both of us. And yeah, just thank you for showing interest in our trip, and thank you for listening. Hopefully, it wasn't a bunch of jumbled mess, but, and enjoy the pictures.